Well, way back when, as I grew up in Massachusetts, and I always wondered, what is this thing about God? I went to church. I went to a church, denominational church. And so I heard about God, Bible, and church, and those kind of things. But I was really wondering, there's got to be something more to this. And so, and that was when I was 17 as a high schooler. And I would just ask God, well, what's the rest of it? You know, I'm just doing the church thing. And and at that point, I went off to University of Massachusetts, very, very secular school. And some guys knocked on my door and said, are you a Christian? I said, yeah, I go to that church. And so I just assumed so. And they said, well, we're going to study the Bible. And so we studied the Bible. And as I got to know this message, and it was given to me as a New Testament evangelistic presentation. And some of you would know what I mean and those kind of things. And so I had enough parts and pieces of information that I sat on my bed one evening and I prayed and I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I started to grow. And I eventually met my wife, which brings me to Albuquerque. She grew up right here in Albuquerque. And then we went back to New Hampshire, and we wanted to do some things. And then I wanted to become a missionary. And so as I wanted to become a missionary, I went to the Philippines. We met up with the headhunters in the Philippines, and that's a whole other story. But decided that that these people, we saw the missionary sharing the gospel, and if the missionary wasn't there, then these people wouldn't have heard the gospel message. And so we came back and we said, okay, now we've got to get some training. So we went off to Bible school. Now, I figured I knew something about the Bible, but I needed a little bit of touch-up in the Old Testament. And so I went back and we went through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And as I went through the Old Testament stories, I sat there one day in class, the teacher was teaching, and I says, am I getting saved right now? Because the amount of information from that Old Testament filled in the gap that I was always missing where someone just told me Jesus died for sinners. But I never knew why we needed Jesus and why did he have to die and all these other things. All of a sudden, all this information, it was kind of like building a house and you start with a roof and somebody came along and put a foundation and lifted it all back up. And I said, wow, look at that. Now, I realized I was saved all that time, but the understanding in my mind was such that I now understood why Christ had to die. And so that, for me, was really engaging. And so then we went off. We went to Papua New Guinea with New Tribes Mission. And some of you may have heard of New Tribes. We worked in the Gende tribe in the middle of a remote. It was a rainforest. And these people were animistic. They believed in the spirit world. And if you can manipulate the spirit world, you can get your physical world better. And so whether it was putting the curse on someone else so that they didn't get you, or to actually get the spirits to get you more fruits and vegetables and those kind of things, they're agricultural people. And so there's all this interaction. So they worked, you know, pro and con with the whole spirit world kind of thing. But they didn't know anything about the one true God. They didn't know about Jesus Christ. And so for us, we said, okay, we're going to start at the beginning. So we started in creation, going through the Old Testament stories on up to the cross so that they would have that whole foundation. And so that was the plan. Our partners continued on, and it took them 10 years to learn the language to present the gospel. But the neighbor that kind of said, here, you can build your house on my land, eventually, here, just a couple years back, I saw a neat picture where he was being baptized. He had placed his faith in Christ, so real exciting. And they're still kind of going out and reaching out to the other tribes. I heard that you just watched Itau. Some of you watched the Itau movie? Oh, you haven't even caught the rest of it. There's more. And I'll just stop at that. There's more. There's another whole video of more. And there's life more. So there's even a third piece. Anyway, there's a lot of things going on there. But it's exciting as believers understand the gospel for themselves. They understand what Jesus told us. And boy, if there's anything, I mean, your dying words, you know, it's like, hey, what do you want to do? go to 7-Eleven and get me a Coke? No, no, no. That's not, you know, what was Jesus' dying word? And if you want to find out, go to back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then those are the ends of the books and the beginning of Acts that's recorded in each one. So it must have been important. But it's this. Go tell everybody else. That's the rendition of it anyway. Go tell everybody else about Jesus Christ. This is important stuff. We need to be about the message of the gospel. We can get busy. We can get all kinds of stuff. But how do we go about that? And as I go across the United States talking to all kinds of church folks and everything, people say, I know that message. I'm supposed to do that. Then I say, so how are you doing? Then they go like this. It's hard. I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. And so Good Seed has taken that message that we used with tribal people in Papua New Guinea and said, how do we help people do that? How do we give a tool that helps that goal, that Jesus said, go spread the gospel around the whole world, and how can we do that? How can we make it very, very practical and succinct that people say, hey, I can do that. That makes sense to me. So that's kind of what we've done here. In Good Seed, we said, let's, and I worked with John Cross, and John was a missionary there in Papua New Guinea as well. And this book came out back in 1997, and when it did, I was here in Albuquerque, and it was this book right here called The Stranger on the Road to Emmaus. That's Luke chapter 24, where Jesus told the people all thing about himself from the Law and the Prophets. Where's the Law and the Prophets? Back in the Old Testament, that's right. And so Jesus told people about Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Most people want to say, hey, I'm going to tell Jesus Christ from maybe the Romans Road or some other New Testament thing. But they're missing out on a lot of the factual basis, that history, what we call a historical narrative. And so we start back in the Old Testament, building blocks. Who is this God? And what is this concept of man as a sinner? And then man is not just a sinner, he's actually a helpless sinner. He can't fix his own problem. And then we see something where God says, well, I'm going to bring in a solution. And watch, at the beginning, it's this death of a sacrifice, of a lamb. And what is that all about? Why do we see this continual showing of a death of a sacrifice? And then eventually we see Jesus being called, of all things, not a dog, not a cat, a lamb. By chance? Or is that for certain that God knew something going on? And he brings in that phrase. Because he's going to be that sacrificial. And then man is then said to has to come to God via faith, by trusting these things. You have a little brochure. Could I get a glass of water or something? I'm sorry. Thank you. You have a brochure. And if you want to turn it to this page right here. Right there. And I'll just read through some of this here. Good Seed, at the bottom. You see that big thing? Good Seed. The Creation to Christ resources help people grow and their understanding of the gospel. I'll stop right there. Each one of us need to grow in our own understanding. I tell you, just like myself, when I finally had gone to Bible school and saw how everything got put together, it made sense. My understanding became clear. I said, good, now that I understand, maybe I could tell that to somebody else. How can I tell somebody else something that I don't even understand? Talk about computers. Okay, we're going to fix your hard drive. If you don't know about hard drives, it's really hard to explain that to someone else. Right? And the same thing with the gospel. If I don't understand the gospel for myself, it's hard to explain it to someone else. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. So we need to grow individually in our understanding of the gospel so that they are able to clearly share it with others. So those are my 2 points of the message. You can now go home. But we need to grow and we need to share it. Both of those things. Okay? And as you see here, we talk about these three things. What I call 3G. Okay, for grow, it says if you have been a believer for 3 days, or 33 years, God wants you to continue to grow in your own understanding and appreciation of his word. Take a journey through the Bible from creation to the cross is a great place to start. So if this is you, is this where you need to do? And again, whether you've been around church for many years, maybe it's good to go ahead and get re-anchored on what is the gospel. We don't want to say, oh, I did that way back when. I live because of the cross today. I need to understand the cross today. I need to be reminded. So often, if you look at the word remember, or those kind of words, it says remember something. It goes back and remind us. We have communion, and it's to remember Christ as well. Now, these next two panels, give and guide, those are things that we do as well. And that whole thing has to do with how do we share the message of the gospel. First, we can give it out. We can just hand a message out in this thing. With the gospel fresh in your heart and mind, naturally you want to share it with others. By prayerfully looking for opportunities to hand someone a book, God can use it in a powerful way to help others understand the gospel. So simple as, here's a big track, and here you go, sir. You can read it on your own. The other thing that we want to do is guide. Whether you consider yourself a Bible teacher or not, you'll find that with good seed curriculum and a little preparation, guiding a chronological, objective overview of the Bible is not only doable, it's extremely rewarding. Right now, my wife and I are leading five people through a Creation Across study using this book called By This Name. And the study is this. My wife has been working at a hospital for about 13 years. So they know her, they see her. She does charting with all the other nurses. They see her come and go, her work habits and things like that. And those are all good things. But has she shared the gospel with them? They just know that she's a Christian and that she has a character. But do they understand the gospel? And so she has gone back and she says, hey, would you like to come and learn an overview of the Bible? And so that's what she said, basically. She says, we'll do it in our home. One guy said, is it going to be in a church? Because if I go in a church building, I'm going to get zapped by God. That's what he said. And we said, no, it's just our home. Oh, okay, then it's all right. Now I'll come. The difference. And so, you know what? Sometimes the church building is good, and other times for that guy, he wasn't going. So how do you reach him? We're going to do it in our home. So we have five people show up. They're nurses, and then one of them is bringing her husband. But they came and they said, you know, we know you a little bit, but we're still wondering, what are you going to do here? This thing, as soon as you talk about religion and Bible, it starts to get uneasy at times. We said, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to tell you what the Bible says. Is that okay? We'll just tell you what the Bible says. Now, if you believe it or if you don't believe it, that's up to you. That's your job in a sense. I'm going to just say, this is what it says. Do you understand what it says? They said, okay, we can go with that. And so they went around the room and they want to find out what each other's name was and what kind of church they had gone to, if anything. Two of the guys said, I'm a seeker. That's what their words were. They were distinctly in the category where they understood they didn't know it, and they were somehow with a question in mind, but I've been around this stuff before, and I never got a good answer. I said, that's fine. And so we started off, and they were a little bit edgy in that first class. In the second class, they got the third and fourth class. They were sitting in there, and you could tell they were leaning in, listening. They wanted to hear more. We just finished the story on the Ten Commandments. I tell you, if there's anything, when you teach the Ten Commandments, watch out. There's an emotional recharge on the whole thing. I've got everything from, if God thinks it's that way, there's no way in all I'm going to ever go to heaven. And he used the curse word of the process. His wife went, you just did it again. Understanding. Actually, his understanding there was actually right. If there's any way, he wasn't going to get it that way by following those Ten Commandments. He understood something in his backwards thinking kind of stuff. Other times, it's totally quiet. And for this group, I don't want to be looking up and saying, have you ever stolen? Have you ever been? You know, I don't want to ask those questions. So I'm just reading right here. I'm going, Holy Spirit, you work in the lives of the people as we just read through very objectively. We've had others where, you know, you're kind of reading, but you're looking out the side of the eye, seeing how they're responding, and there's a big, big tear coming down. And then you go, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Just lied. But anyway, something's going on. And we don't try to pry it and figure it out. We just let the Holy Spirit work wherever they're at. And we just keep on teaching. We say, do you understand what we just read? And sometimes they're like, well, and they want to race to the answer because they go, I'm a sinner according to what I understand now about the holiness of God, that He will rightly judge people. And that they're like, well, what's the answer? What's the answer? I says, good, hang on. We're going to get there. Now, we study 2 hours a night. So they come for coffee for a half hour at like 5:30 to 6, 6 o'clock. We kind of sit in our living room and I'm teaching and I'm going through. Just so you know, too, we have a leader's guide. So this leader's guide has all kinds of other footnotes on the sides there. So we have a DVD in the back right here. And so I just kind of read. I'm reading the main text. And I said, okay, well, you guys need to help my voice out. So when we get to the scriptures, you guys read. And so they just read, and they read in a circle, and I go back to reading. My wife's reading her other half kind of stuff. And then we say, okay, here's a very visual piece. I'm going to just show it up on the video. So I just watch that little 1 to 3 minute segment. And so when you get to the tabernacle is a visual aid. If you were to go to Walmart and ask, what's a laver? I don't know what you'd get for an answer, whether it's a bathroom fixture or who knows what it is. But it wouldn't be the basin there that we're talking about. Then. So anyway, we actually go ahead and walk through a whole life-size tabernacle so they could see what is this tabernacle, because there's so many good things to be taught right there. Anyway, so we're teaching through this, and we're right now at the law. But then all of a sudden, we're going to teach another class, and the guy says, oh, I can't be there. Uh-oh, what happened? He needs to continue. What happened? Is there something wrong? Come to find out, when my wife went back to work, he said, oh, no, I just had to help another lady that day. I really want to come. I almost miss it. I want to be back there. So anyway, they're still in listening. So if you want to think of it, Sunday evenings, typically at 6 to 8 p.m. on our time, we're teaching through this. So we're praying for these five folks. Some of them are actually churchy. They know something. But every now and then, one of them goes, oh, what's that mean? Oh, something just happened. She just understood a new truth. Even though she's been in church all these years, she's understood a new truth. So, exciting stuff. Well, let me show you a couple more pieces here as I go through. Another piece here is all that the prophets have spoken. And in light of what's going on in this world, this is a really neat thing. This is for an Islamic audience. Okay? And so people can go back and we say, okay, if you're a Muslim, how do you share the gospel with them? Well, they believe in the prophets. They believe in the scriptures. So we say, okay, let's go back to your prophets, the ones that you already believe in. Moses, well, he's written the first five books of the Bible, so we go back and see that prophet. Learn about Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael, because they want to know about Ishmael too. Even Jesus Christ, he was a prophet in their view, so let's see what your prophet states. Job says, how can a man be righteous before God? That's a great question. What's the answer to that? Let's go see what your prophets say. So we walk them through their prophets in that sense. Now, we don't go to the Quran. We don't go to the Muhammad or anything else. But they're reading through these kind of things. I had a guy, he was in his 60s. He wanted to be involved in sharing the gospel. And so he was kind of a simple guy, but at the same time, he wanted to do something. So he picked up a copy of our material, went over to a foreign country. And so he was trying to say, well, how do I get involved with sharing the gospel with Muslims? I mean, you just can't go out on the street and say, hey, everybody over here kind of thing. You're usually arrested and taken away. So he found a young guy, and I forgot how he found it, and he says, hey, how about if we just go through this book? And so the two of them had a book, and they would just read it out loud, and this young guy would come back to the house. And so as they went through, this young guy came to the point of placing his faith in Christ. That's pretty neat, huh? Well, a couple days go by, and then he gets a knock on the door. He goes to the door and opens it, and there's two ladies. Says, yes, how can I help you? We were looking for the guy who tells the stories. Tells the stories. Oh, well, come on in. And so he took another couple copies, and he gave it to them, and they'd have tea, and they would go through the stories. And again, on and on and on this happened. He showed me, in one of those flip vinyl photo things. You don't have those too much these days, but he had 27 photos. And he would flip it, and he goes, and then this story, and then this story, and this story. And he went through the whole vinyl thing, closed it up, he says, and then I was kicked out of the country because I was sharing the gospel too much. So now I'm going to that country, and I'm going to start sharing the gospel there. But he looked at me, he says, you guys have made me successful. You've made it easy for me. Just interesting to see what he was thinking, what he was saying. Anyway, with all the Syrians, refugees in Germany, we just sent a whole pallet over to Germany, like 7-8 foot tall. And so they had already used up all the materials that they had in the German office, and so we sent a whole other pallet. So it's there in Arabic and French and English, so different refugees could utilize that. And they said, as soon as we run out of that, we want to print some more and get those into the hands of people so that they can understand the gospel message. That's the whole point. Now, we do these in different languages. That's in Turkish and Arabic, as I said, Chinese. We have several of the languages. These are closed-access countries. And so they said probably about 60% of our translation work, which is about 100-plus copies, different languages, 60% or so would actually be for countries that you can't share openly the gospel. And so we're hoping that we can train people, show them how to do it, and they can go out, and then they're all locals, so they can be able to stay there in the country and also. Neat stuff. Okay, some other things. I heard, is Susan here? Teaching kids, right. Well, she was telling me the story that you guys just bought this. She said, oh, I didn't realize this was good seed. And so she's used this with the kids. But this is a children's presentation of the gospel. One of the things that we find is, how do you share the gospel with a child? Anyone have grandchildren? Yeah? What's the length of a time that you can hold their attention before? Oops, squirrel, something happened here. You know, it's like 5 minutes or less kind of thing. I got two grandchild. I mean, I got maybe 30 seconds and they're gone. They're all, anyway. But anyway, so that's a five-minute story. And so you can go through that and then continue on. There's 10 parts and pieces to make up the whole presentation. My daughter was 6 when we went through this, and my wife went through it about 3 times. The third time at lunch table, my daughter goes, I said, yes, what's that? And she goes, Dad, I want to do that. I said, okay, tonight on the bed. I don't know why I waited till tonight, but I had to go back to work. But anyway, I said, tonight we'll get on the bed and we'll talk about what is this that you want to do. I says, as a missionary and as a father, I want her to understand really well. So there's none of this, I believe in Jesus. I want you to know why kind of thing. So I says, okay, what do you think? And she expounded her understanding of the gospel. I was surprised. I said, wow, you got quite a depth there. I was surprised to see that. We've done five-day Bible clubs. And just because we set it up as a children's book, it's a beautiful picture book, I tell you, there are other ages that pick up on this thing. We took that, we made it into Ukrainian. And so a pastor and his group took it over to the Ukraine, and they were field testing it for us. And so they were field testing it with teenagers. He says they would get on the bus, and there's all these rough and tough teenagers. And they go, wow, this is the group that we're working with? And so they took that material. They didn't tell them it's children material. They presented it in the Ukraine language. And these rough, tough teenagers, at the last day when they said, hey, we're going to have to leave, and they had finished teaching, they were hugging them and said, we're going to miss you. They understood a message. They fell in love with Jesus in that process. So it was really neat. Anyway, some neat stuff. Anyway, we had one gal I taught her about the Lamb, and she talked to her grandma. Grandma was 92, presented the gospel through that, and in the process, she got saved. And she passed away 1 year later, understanding the gospel. So neat stuff. Okay, I'm going to give you something else, so I need my helper.
Sure.
Okay. And go ahead and pass one out to each person there. And there's a couple more here. Okay, this next one. It's called Field Notes. This is just a short, a whole bunch of stories in here of people that wrote us an email or came to our office and said, hey, I used one of your tools and it worked like this. So little testimonies of people that got saved. If you were to turn to page 65-4, there's something called Over a Pint of Custard. Okay? That story, if you want to read it later on, That's my son. And he was in Wisconsin, and he was doing a youth group, and so he was cleaning up at 9 o'clock at night on Monday. He's like, oh, come on, let's finish this thing up and everybody get out of here kind of stuff. And, you know, and all the... And there's one leftover... There's a couple more. One leftover teenager. And he's saying, hey, can I talk to you? He goes, boy, I'm just so busy. I'm just trying to finish up here. Yeah, I tell you what. Why don't we just... I'll just pick you up. When do you want to meet? And so they picked him up and went over to a custard spot in Wisconsin. That's what they eat down there instead of ice cream. And so they sat there. They had their custard. He says, what do you think? And he goes, I don't know anything about God. Now, this kid he knew had messed up in all kinds of ways. His life was a shambles, kind of a rough sort. And so he said, okay, well, let's go through by this name. And he says, if you don't mind, we'll have custard and we'll do that. So every time they'd meet after school, they'd go through the by this name. And they'd just sit there and read it out loud at the custard place. And he went through, finished it up, got to the end. My son goes, well, I don't know where you're at. What are you thinking? He goes, no, I got to believe this. This has got to be true. He went from a nothing to I got to believe it is. Incredible. And it's just a matter of taking the time with people and allowing them, allowing Scripture. We're doing a historical narrative. We're understanding what God has said here. And so as people come to that point, they go, wow, look what God has done for me. I got to embrace this. Anyway, incredible, incredible stuff. We go to a quarter after or something like that? Okay, I'm going to switch some gears here. Anyway, those are for you. So just enjoy those stories. I tell you, sometimes they just kind of go, oh, I guess I could do this. So whether it's a hospital setting or for, with foreigners, those kind of things. Here's two other things. We have a booklet up here called What Are Christmas and Easter All About? A lot of foreigners in America don't know what these things are. A lot of people go to only those two events, holidays. And so we have that. That's very much similar to the lamb. Then we have another one called The Story That Matters. And the lamb, Christmas and Easter in this book are very, very similar in content, okay? Just so you know, just different ways of presenting it. But this one, any of you guys, hunters and outdoorsmen, use a buck knife? Anybody have a buck knife? A couple of you? Yeah, I got mine here. Is that okay to have a knife in there? Okay. Now that they ask you that. Anyway, Chuck Buck was a dear friend of mine. He was the owner there. And anytime you bought a buck knife, he'd have a John 3:16 and a little track that they made. They had that in there since the 40s or earlier when they started making knives. And Chuck, anywhere he went, he'd always present things about God and Jesus, and that's just the way he was. And yet he had this big factory and company. Well, we'd have breakfast together every now and then, and he passed away just last year, just about this time in February. And so I went to this funeral. His funeral had a 21-gun salute and everything. But here you're going to have the hunters, the fishermen, the military, all these kind of guys. And I says, okay, how can I help Chuck, my friend, at his funeral so that he's still presenting the gospel? So my wife and I bought 300 copies of this. And we put it out on the back on his table. We just put up a little sign that said free book kind of thing. And so people would come by, had a little bookmarker with a picture of Chuck in it. And we just left it there on the table. People would come out and they'd pick this up and they'd see his picture and walk off. Now, I don't know how many people read it or came to faith, but we said, hey, I want his death as an opportunity again for the gospel. So that was just a neat opportunity. We've had other people that gave these things out at parades over in Virginia. They did it 1 year with 1,000 copies and they gave it out in the parade. And they says they were all gone before the parade showed up. So this year we want 2,000 copies. So anyway. So neat stuff of what people do. We have three churches up in Canada. They said, how do we make sure everybody at least has an opportunity for the gospel? So the three churches got together. They each bought a couple cases. I think it was about 3,000 people in the community. And so they cut up the town as a pie, and they said, here, you guys take that third, you take that third. And they all went out on one Saturday, and the youth groups handed out these things, one to every door kind of thing. So anyway, neat little things. They're great. They fit in the back of your pocket. They fit in your laptop case or your purse or whatever. So a lot of opportunities there to share the gospel in utilizing those. Now, what I'm doing here for the church is Good Seed wants to gift you guys. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you this box right here. And it has 49, because that's the 50th one right there. And so as a church, as you find people that come here and say, I don't know really a whole lot about God. I need to know the message. Here's your opportunity. So you can start giving away. Okay, we talked about grow, you individually grow. You can give away, or you can guide a course. And we're going to also leave you one of these copies each. So if you want to learn more about what's inside here, be at your library then, so you can learn about these materials and see what that's all about. Okay, well, you all have one thing here, is this guy. So if you hold this up above your head, okay, yep, we're getting charismatic, that's right. Up above your head. Is that okay? All right, and now if you do this, it pulls apart. There you go. All right, very good. If you would, if you have a pen, and if you don't have a pen, I have some pens here. We would like to be a part of your ministry. So if there is somebody that you're thinking, I would like to pray about sharing the gospel. I'd like to pray about sharing the gospel. There's somebody on my mind. If you have that person, then it says, I would like prayer for somebody. If you write that down, I and my wife, Lori, will pray for you, for this person, okay, in regards to salvation. And so the opportunity that you're going to have with them as you're trusting the Lord for that opportunity. So if there's someone like that, go ahead and put that name down. If you put your email down, then I can also send you just once a month email update. So this way you can see a little bit about our ministry, different tools that are coming out. Like the last tool that just got completed was the Hebrew edition of By This Name. I don't know what you know about Hebrew, but it's for the Jewish people. I believe there's how many speakers of the Hebrew language? Anyway, so we were just over in Israel here back in November, so it was kind of interesting to be there. But they are now doing youth studies with the Hebrew edition in Israel. And so this thing just came out here just a couple weeks ago. But anyway, we have all these different translations, and maybe you have neighbors that you go, how am I ever going to present the gospel to this guy who's a Sikh or this person who's a Muslim or whatever? All right. So anyway, and there's some other things. If you have some questions or thoughts, you can fill it out. And on the back side, it says, maybe you want to partner with Good Seed. Now, we are full-time missionaries. Okay, we're missionaries over in the field. We're still missionaries here. And all this material goes around the world. And so we are supported by individuals and people. If you want to be a part of that, you can click off that box. We'll send you some information. Or what other projects are going on. And there's so much more kind of things. So if you want to be a part of that, if you fill that out and just return it to me on the table, I'd appreciate that and be able to help you as well. I tell you, this is exciting ministry. Again, the materials go out around the world. We're trusting God for it. One of the things in the back, because of time, I'm not going to be able to go through this whole tree, but there are so many different illustrations that God uses about plantings and trimmings, and I do fruit trees, so I trim fruit trees. Anyway, just the scriptures that talk about it, being planted, you know, like a stream, by a stream there. And so these three boxes are grow, we need to each grow, and it talks about giving away the gospel. And Peter talks about being ready always. Are you always ready for sharing the gospel? One of the things that we do to be ready too is we always try to have a book in our car or in our satchel or one of those kind of things. Somebody calls up and comes, and sometimes we just go ahead, I'll send you a copy or whatever. And then remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? He is there reading Isaiah. He was reading Scripture. That's great. But what did he say? How can I understand this unless someone guides me? Sometimes we just need to come alongside one and walk them through. People have said, you know what? This is about the easiest presentation that I can ever do. We have a gal over in South Carolina, and she went through one of my trainings. I did a special training for a whole Saturday. She finished it, and they said, okay, how do we do this? Went back home, and they said, okay, let's try some things out. And then she found that people actually responded to going and walking right through, guiding them through a book where they gave them a copy and she had a copy and they would just read out loud until they finished it. And she said, wow, I have 4 studies going every week now. Really? Her girlfriend said, quit your job, do that full time. But she was just finding so much success. There's our folks there in Germany, they have the Stranger on the Road to Emmaus in German, and they have all these people, and they just bring them in, and they'll teach about 16 to 20 people at a time. There'll be different nationalities because of the influx of people, and they've been doing this for 8 to 10 years, so it's not just this last year now. They said, we don't have to find anyone to do a study. They line up. He says, we are just doing study after study. There's 4 to 5 studies a week that they're doing, and they have 2 couples, and they're just kind of making sure that they cover for each other to make sure they get all the studies done. But they said, as soon as one study's there, there's just a lineup of people that are saying, hey, we want to do it. The churches in Germany, generically, have been cold, gray hair, and dead. They're dying. They're getting less and less people in the churches. And they're going, how can you guys get more and more people and we're not doing anything here? And he says, teach us what you're doing so that we too could be fruitful. And the tree is we want to produce fruit, right? And it says in Mark there, producing fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I pray that you would produce fruit to that kind of thing here in this church.